Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Tilaknagar Industries Limited, hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Himanshu Nayyar from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Yashashri. Good morning, everyone. I would welcome all participants on behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities team and would like to thank the management of Tilaknagar Industries for giving us the opportunity to host them. We have with us Mr. Amit Dhanorkar, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Abhinav Gupta, CFO, and Mr. Ameya Deshpande, President, Strategy and Corporate Development. The company has delivered another strong quarter with volume growth well ahead of industry and improvement in both realizations and margins. Would request the management to start with some opening remarks, and then we'll take questions. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Quarter 2 and H1 FY 2024 results earnings conference call. We continued in Q2, where we left off in Q1 of FY 2024. Our volumes grew 17% year-on-year and 13% quarter-on-quarter. Mansion House Brandy, our flagship brand, has now crossed 4 million cases in H1 FY 2024. Volumes over the past 30 months have doubled, with a volume of 5.5 million cases in FY 2021 to 9.6 million cases in FY 2023. Flandy, our premium flavored brandy range, has been receiving a positive response in its first year of launch. It currently sells now at 5% of the flagship Mansion House brand in the relevant markets. Over the past few years, brandy P&A has been one of the fastest-growing P&A categories, a growth primarily driven by Mansion House Brandy. Despite this industry-beating growth, we believe there is still significant headroom left for further growth. MHB is the largest-selling brandy in India and second-largest-selling brandy in the world. It is also the second-fastest-growing alcohol brand globally, as per the Millionaires Club 2023 report by Drinks International. TII and Mansion House Brandy has been gaining market share across most regions it is present in. For H1 FY 2024, TII moved up one spot to become the fourth-largest IMFL player in Telangana. Flandy became the third-largest brandy brand in the state, with Mansion House retaining its numero uno position. TII not only maintained its leadership in Puducherry but also increased its market share in the state by a whopping 900 basis points to 28% from 19% last year. On the marketing front, our new proposition for Mansion House, A Warm Welcome, which was launched in Quarter 1, is seeing great traction not only on ground but also on digital assets. Our YouTube campaigns have now garnered more than 20 million views. Our focus on brandy as a category will continue, with at least one premium launch in Quarter 3 FY 2024. Before I hand over to my colleagues, I would like to reinforce that TII continues to be committed to giving brandy, which is the second-largest IMFL category in India, the share of voice it deserves. We will continue with our strong innovation pipeline in brandy and premiumization strategy and expand our existing portfolio with high-quality premium spirits that would make the world take notice. I now hand over the call to our President of Strategy and Corporate Development for a detailed financial review. Over to you, Ameya.
Thank you, boss. Welcome all to the call. As Mr. Dhanorkar mentioned, our volumes grew by 17% in Q2 and 28% in H1 2024. Our Q2 volumes are the highest quarterly volumes since FY 2015, despite Q2 historically being the third-strongest quarter only after Q3 and Q4. Our NSR increased to rupees 1,273 per case for Q2 FY24 and 8% growth YOY, leading to net revenue increase to rupees 354 crores and growth of 29% for the quarter. This increase in NSR is on account of a steady mix of price increases, brand and state mix. While there was no new price increase received in this quarter, Q2 was the first quarter with full quarter impact of price increase received in Q1 in the state of Telangana. Our P&A volume mix continued to be strong with approximately 80% saliency of total volumes. Our EBITDA increased 51% year-on-year in Q2 to rupees 47.4 crores. The EBITDA for H1 stood at rupees 85.8 crores, that is a more than 60% growth. EBITDA margins also increased almost 2 percentage points to 13.4% compared to 11.4% a year back. This increase in margins is on account of price increases as well as operating leverage coming into play. Also, margin expansion was despite the inflationary headwinds plaguing the industry, especially on the ENA side. In fact, on a YOY basis, our ANSP spend as a percentage of net revenue increased by almost 90 basis points or by almost 4 crores in absolute terms. Otherwise, our EBITDA margin and absolute EBITDA would have been higher. I'm also glad to share that we completed the refinancing of the Edelweiss ARC debt, wherein we prepaid rupees 176 crores to settle all outstandings to ARC. This was refinanced with a fresh term loan from Kotak Bank of rupees 130 crores and the balance being paid out through existing cash reserves. The Kotak loan has a maturity period of 4 years and provides us with immediate flexibility in managing cash flows, enabling investment in brand building. As of September 23, our net debt stood at rupees 141 crores. It has come down almost 250 crores over the past 30 months. There has been an increase of around rupees 5 crores over the last quarter. This was predominantly on account of additional working capital investment in the business, on account of excise duty hike in Karnataka, as well as expansion in receivable cycle in Telangana, both key states for us. However, we continue to expect to be near net debt free by March 25. To conclude with the opening remarks, overall, we are seeing good growth in our established brands MHB and CNB. Our recent brands, especially Flandy, continues to grow market share at a rapid pace and it's meeting its purpose of making Brandy more aspirational and youthful. To add to that, our financial position is strong and we continue to generate good amounts of cash flows which can be reinvested for profitable growth. With that, I would now like to open the call for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Hello. Shah, we can hear you. Yeah. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. The first is a bookkeeping question. Despite healthy volume growth and price increase, full quarter flow through of price increase, gross margins have been down on a quarter-on-quarter basis, almost by 160 basis points. So anything specific over here? Basically, is this on account of increase in ENA prices? And if you can provide the outlook on ENA prices, like what has been the increase quarter on quarter basis in ENA prices and the exit quarter ENA prices? This is the first question.
Sure. So Himanshu, we'll take it a question at a time. But yes, you're right in terms of the impact on our gross margins has been predominantly on account of ENA prices. So ENA, if you look at it from an exit perspective for Q1, or rather on a blended basis in Q1 was around 67 per liter, which closed on a blended basis at 69 per liter. However, the exit rate was actually 70, right? So there has been a steady increase in ENA prices. In terms of providing any kind of guidance on ENA prices, see, it is a volatile situation currently, right? So even as we speak, the prices have increased a further 1 rupee per liter in the current month, right? So that is on the increase. However, we do hope that this will kind of turn by December, by the new harvest and all of that. And then we should be looking at, again, Q1, Q2 levels over the next quarter or so.
So, and the exit rate you mentioned is 77 per liter versus full quarter average of 70 per liter?
No, I said 71.
71. Okay. Fine, sir. This is very, very helpful.
We will also have to wait and see the impact of the reduction in GST on molasses, which has taken place, which is now stands at 5% compared to 28% what it was earlier. That impact also we will know possibly in this quarter. Yeah.
Okay. But sir, GST probably wasn't getting levered, if I'm not mistaken. At least on grain-based ENA, states were not levying GST. So would there be any specific benefit?
No. So this is specifically for molasses itself. So procurement of molasses had a GST of 28% earlier, which has now been reduced to 5%. Obviously, molasses ENA becomes more relevant in the states of Maharashtra and Karnataka. Obviously, UP being another state where it does, but not relevant for us, right? So Maharashtra, Karnataka, there could be an impact, but difficult to quantify as of now.
And so just in continuation of that, what would be our mixed consumption in terms of grain-based ENA versus molasses-based ENA?
We don't actually provide that information, but that's fairly fungible, closer, higher on the grain side.
Yeah, that's very helpful. So second question is, overall brandy market size, if you can provide some color, I presume it's around 80 million cases, predominantly in the southern India, but if you can correct me if I'm wrong, and what would be the mix of PNA within that for the industry?
Sure, Himanshu. So yes, you're right. In FY23, the brandy industry was around 85 million cases, right? We have seen a slight growth currently in H1. It is at almost 45 million cases as we speak. However, I think when you look at brandy, you have to look at it from a PNA perspective. So PNA within the brandy segment occupies around 34% of the saliency as of FY23, right? This has increased to around 34.5% in the first half. Within the overall construct of IMFL, brandy PNA is actually one of the fastest growing PNA categories, right? So if I have to look at it from a 3-year CAGR perspective, brandy PNA actually has grown at 13% CAGR as compared to 8% for the overall PNA IMFL.
Okay, this is very, very helpful. And sir, this is the rough calculation. Our market share in brandy PNA should be around 37-38% to 40% range?
No. Brandy PNA, if I'm only looking at MHB, it will be around 27% of brandy PNA.
Okay. So in opening remarks, I believe we mentioned that of the total volumes, 80% saliency is from PNA. And 85-86% of our volumes, closer to 90% comes from brandy. So I was using that number.
Yeah. So essentially, if you look at it, 80% PNA would be predominantly, given that Mansion House itself occupies 80% of our total volumes, right? Most of the 80% is Mansion House itself. So it's safe to assume that as a percentage of premium and prestige and above PNA, rather, prestige and above brandy, we are around 27 to 28%.
Okay. And can I have one more last question?
Sure.
So with respect to upcoming elections in Telangana, are we expecting any kind of, means we have not been able to go through the party's manifesto or anything, but is there any green flags or red flags with respect to the alcobev as an industry for Telangana market? This is first. And secondly, I think so licenses have been up for renewal. So is there any increase, decrease in the number of shops in Telangana? If you can provide color on this too. And this would be the last question.
So in terms of future outlook in Telangana, nothing has come to our notice. In terms of the shop licenses, what you mentioned, they will go through the normal renewal in November end, and they should start operating in the first week of December.
Okay, sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chintan Mehta from Lloyd LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me? Is my voice audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. First of all, I'll... Hello?
Yeah, we missed you for a couple of seconds.
Okay. So I will congratulate management for the excellent numbers. I have two questions, one regarding on a generic business. So we have reported a fantastic volume growth, you know, I mean, kind of 28% volume growth for this half year versus last half year. I want to understand that, is it possible to dissect this particular growth number into a generic growth number versus, I mean, generic growth numbers in the same brand, same states growth, what could be that number and what share of growth we are taking from a new product in a new state? That's number one, part of my question. And second is that we have seen some softening in our, you know, cash generated from our operations and predominantly because of our working capital. So it would be great if you can highlight that particular thing for us. That's two questions from my side, please.
Sure. So, Chirag, the thing is that we don't get into too much of region-wise segregation of volumes, okay? We don't disclose that level of data. Having said that, all regions for us have actually grown at a similar level. Obviously, state by state, it does differ, right? So that is something that you have to take into consideration, but we actually don't get into that level of detailing as such. Our significantly profitable states of Telangana, of Karnataka, Pondicherry have been growing extremely well. That is the level of comfort or detailing that I can get into right now. With regards to your second bit of the question, yes, you're right. A good amount of there has been an increase, and I believe you're coming to this from an increase of net debt level as well of around 5 crores, right? So that has been predominantly on account of working capital investment, right? Around 43 or more than 40 crores has gone into working capital. Now, if I was to just give you further color on why 40 crores and how did that 40 crores actually come up, you would know that in recent times, around July, there was an increase in excise duty in our key state of Karnataka, right? So that is where a good amount of additional working capital has gone. Approximately 8 odd crores has gone over there. Along with that, we have also had a slight increase in receivable cycle in the state of Telangana. It's a short-term impact. However, that has led to a further increase in working capital.
So if you see, the number of days has increased from around 43 to 49, and predominantly, as Amay said, key by Karnataka and Telangana. We are hopeful that in Telangana, the things may smoothen out a bit. But for Q3, we would stick to our guidance of 47 to 48 days.
Mm-hmm.
This quarter, it is currently around 47 days.
Right. So Thanks for very nice. So, you know, taking liberty to ask a follow-up on what we asked. My first question, you said we don't give a detail on state-wise. So my question involved that the same product growth as well, what could be that? I'm trying to understand that what could be the whole reason of me asking is what could be the sustainable number in terms of volume growth. So what do you think that we have an existing branch and we keep on launching the new branch and type of launching the new variant, right? So I want to understand that what is the secular growth in your existing branch versus what could be the growth because of that new launches. So I want to just want to dissect that and, you know, it's for a modeling purpose and, you know, try to understand your take on this.
Yeah, so I think it's a good question. I'll share my perspective on it. If you see a quarter two, I think what Ameya also mentioned in his opening remarks, it's the first time the company has actually been active in terms of marketing and advertising. We've had an additional spend of close to 4 crores in quarter two. We've been very active on the digital platforms as well as on-ground activations. This is the first time, in fact, not only the company, but brandy as a category being communicated, this is the first time it's happening. Right. So I do believe this is something which is, you know, led to this growth. And I do see with our sustained activities and campaigns, this growth will continue in the immediate quarters as well.
Okay. Thanks for that. Sure. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Harsh from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to Amit and the entire team of Tilaknagar for you know, this results. So just a following up on, you know, questions asked by previous participants. You know, so there have been multiple news articles on very strong demand for liquor in Telangana in lieu of elections. So, you know, so kind of wanted to understand the sustainability of volume growth and, you know, how are we seeing things you know, on ground. So that's one. And secondly, you know, additionally post price hike in Telangana, you know, there may be steep difference in prices between Andhra and Telangana, which may have led to a lot of cross-border smuggling. So are we anticipating a similar price hike in Andhra as well?
So I think, you know, in terms of the elections, I think we've not seen, you know, the industry has grown marginally, but nothing really more than that. And between Andhra and Telangana, the price difference is not much. So I'll really not be able to comment on your proposition.
Understood. And secondly, just wanted to get any update on our Sri Lampur distillery operations, you know, with regards to CAPEX spend and commercialization.
Yeah, so Harsh, we are yet in the midst of making a decision on that. There's nothing, no update that we have on this call with regards to the potential CAPEX that could come up over there. But like I mentioned earlier as well, the potential CAPEX, if and when it does come up, just for the benefit of others, would be around 40 to 45 CR for the distillery. It's a 100 KLPD distillery.
Right, so there's no tentative timeline to it, right?
No, Harsh, not yet.
Sure. So thanks for that. I'll come and queue for the follow-up questions.
Sure.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anushka Chitnis from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I just wanted to ask a few questions. One being that since you've entered into the states in the Northeast, how is the response in those markets and what's your strategy if you want to enter any new geographies?
So Northeast, we have just introduced. In fact, it's a very early introduction. Of course, Mansion House Brandy has been the leading brandy in the Northeast. In fact, in few months, for example, in Sikkim, it is the single largest selling brand in Sikkim. Whereas the other geographies are concerned, we've had a recent launch in Blue Lagoon Gin. It's very early days really to, you know, make any specific guidance in terms of the numbers or the progress right now. I think we have not even achieved the width of distribution which we intend. So it will be quite premature to make any comment on that.
Okay. And what's your response like for the non-brandy portfolio?
So the thing is that for the moment, we have guided this earlier as well. For the next year and a half, 2 years, our focus is very much on brandy and to keep expanding our market share within brandy itself, right? Having said that, along with that, yes, there are developments which are taking place in the non-brandy portfolio. You've seen the refresh of Blue Lagoon, which frankly is not a play so much on gin, but rather a play on white spirits and flavored spirits, which are seeing significant growth in the industry today. But I think you will start seeing the fruits of all these developments from a non-brandy perspective, let's say three odd years forward, right? That is when you will start seeing some incremental eye-popping results coming out of that. For the next couple of years, it's brandy which is going to be leading paving the way for us in terms of growth.
Okay, thank you. And do you have any launches in H2 plan, any new product developments?
So, to follow up, from what Ameya has said, we reiterate our position as a brandy-first company. That's our strength and that's our focus. And as I had mentioned earlier also, now we are channelizing significant amount of resources in terms of communicating the proposition which we have for brandy. That said, we do have a new launch which will be happening in quarter three of FY 2024, and we'll keep you updated about the same. It remains in the brandy space and it will be premium to Mansion House.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pankaj Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my question, sir, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Sir, my question pertains to more on the industry side, particularly for brandy in the IMFL category. So as you stated, in the last 3 years, this brandy category has grown at 13% CAGR versus 8% P&A. So how do you see next 3 years for the brandy category, given this white spirits is also now getting a lot of demand and all those? So given in this current scenario, how do you see brandy as a segment for next 3 years?
So see, I think whatever developments that are happening in brandy currently are happening on the P&A side, right? And obviously we are paving the way over there. We are more than one-fourth the market, or rather the industry on the P&A brandy side, right? So we drive most of the growth that's happening. Having said that, I think across categories we are seeing tremendous developments happening on P&A. In terms of growth, I think we are obviously not looking at the kinds of growth that you've seen in the past, right? These will mellow down to some extent. From an industry perspective, you're looking at single-digit growth, right, for the next few years. Brandy P&A, given that it will be driven by us predominantly, you should be looking at somewhere in the higher single to lower double digits, right? With our guidance being in the mid-teens kind of growth.
Okay. And sir, my second question is more on the long-term margins. So, given this, your gross margins at 49% average that we've seen in the first half, and 80% is a P&A for you. So what are the levers for improvement in the gross margin in the next 2-3 years?
So from a gross margin perspective, I think the couple of things over there, right? First, at some point, the ENA prices, I think, will halt, right, from the monthly increase that we are seeing. I think that is one part of it. The other part, which is more specific to us, is the fact that Plandy as a product or as a brand, right, has only started picking up pace, right? So it's as Mr. Danukar mentioned, 5% of overall MHB saliency, right, in the states, in the relevant states in which it has been launched. You will see Plandy picking up in volumes, okay, as a share as well, which will lead to an increase in gross margins because it is a more premium product and therefore more profitable. Along with that, as Mr. Dhanukar also mentioned right now, in response to the earlier question, we are coming out with a new brand in this quarter, right, which is again at a premium to Mansion House. So you should be looking at certain level of incremental margin expansion that does happen from here. Quantification becomes that much more difficult given the volatile times that we are in terms of commodity prices. But yeah, I think even going below gross margins, if you look at EBITDA margins is surely something that we should see some improvement on given operating leverage coming into play as well over there.
Okay. And sir, the last question, if I may. So that is on accumulated losses that you have. So given that accumulated losses, we have a zero tax bill. So for how many quarters that we can see zero tax continue?
So from next year, we are expecting that we will be paying taxes. So this year would perhaps be the last year wherein we are availing tax.
And from your modeling perspective, it would be safe to assume Q1 onwards, Q1 of FY25 onwards.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. We'll take the next question from the line of Marcel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes,
my first question is regarding this Punjab Expo, wherein we have like taken impairment of 100 crore rupees. So where do we stand on this one? Like, are we going to revive it, or if you are not going to revive it, then are we going to just sell it at the salvage value? And the land is whether this particular land is leasehold or the freehold land?
No, so
Prague
is I think you were mentioning about Prague Distillery.
No. Actually, I'm mentioning about both Punjab Expo and the Prague.
So you see, these units they are of strategic importance to us. Punjab, if I take first, it is present in North India, and at some point of time, we do propose to enter North Indian markets. Ultimately, as we see the growth of the company can come from more brands, new brands, as well as the geographical diversification. So that is a strategic unit from North Indian markets. Entry perspective. Regarding Prague, it is present in AP, Andhra Pradesh, and it is very much a unit which we have the license, and recently it has come out of NCLT also. So we are doing production at almost full capacity in Prague, and we will continue to do it in future as well.
So this like Punjab Expo, this land is freehold or the leasehold?
Freehold.
Freehold, okay. And the second thing regarding this income tax, you mentioned that like till Q1 like of next year, like there won't be any tax liability. So what is our unabsorbed this like you can say income tax carry forward losses as of 30 September 2023 for income tax?
We have unabsorbed depreciation of around 120 odd crores. So we will be utilizing that in this financial year. So from next year onwards, you should assume full tax payment.
And the carry forward losses?
So they have already been utilized.
Okay. And my last question, sir, like regarding this, our dominance in the brandy, but just like humble submission, because suppose if we are going to restrict ourselves on brandy, so a point will come like when the market will saturate, because the younger generation and so on, they are not much on the brandy, so like more on the cold weather side or you can say army kind of thing. Where the consumption is more so, what's your strategy like to launch other, you know, other alcoholic products, number one? And number two, which new state we want to launch in the Q3 and Q4? And how is the response in the state which we launched in the recent past?
Yeah, so see, just coming to brandy first, right? Now, you rightly said that brandy is a predominantly southern India kind of a play. However, I think what one needs to look at from an IMFL industry perspective is that South India actually contributes more than 50% of the volumes of Indian IMFL, right? You add to that the institutional side of the business of CSD and PMF, where also brandy gets sold pretty well, right? You're looking at more than 60% of the overall industry, which is being catered to by us as such, right? Now, with respect to why focus on Brandy for the next year and a half, 2 years, is that, see, there is still a long way to go, right? I earlier mentioned that Brandy P&A is the fastest growing P&A category within IMFL. But one more thing that we need to consider over here is that Brandy P&A takes only 34% share of overall Brandy, right? You compare this to another category, like, let's say, whiskey. Whiskey has got a 54%, or rather a 55% saliency of P&A within overall whiskey itself. Vodka is more than 60%. 60% of vodka is actually vodka P&A. So we still see a great amount of headroom from a premiumization perspective within Brandy as a category. And that is where, and we are strong at Brandy, right? We are the kings of Brandy. There's no denying that. And we just want to make ample use of the position that we are in to build Brandy as a category.
And sir, like, what is this P&A? I didn't follow this one.
Prestige and above. It is the premium side of.
Okay. So, sir, like, in the similar range, then, like, we should also focus on rum, because in the, like, P&A in the army, this rum is also, like, consumed very, very, like, large scale. So are we having this rum product or not, or are we trying to launch rum?
We do have a rum product. It's a brand called Madeira, which is pretty famous within the CSD as well as in Kerala as well. So we do have a rum product, but yeah, I think it comes down to what are we extremely strong at, and Brandy obviously is that category.
So I'd just like to, you know, add to what Amey was saying, to summarize that based on Brandy portfolio in past 30 months, we have doubled volumes, and we're seeing the momentum continue. So I am not seeing any, you know, clear, you know, why we should, you know, do anything too much different at this stage, when in 30 months we've been able to clearly demonstrate that we have doubled our volumes.
What's the market share in the Brandy currently, and, like, what market share you want to target, say, by the end of next financial year, for example?
So I think we have already addressed this question. I think if something remains, you can, you know, write to us directly. We will respond to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Karan Sanwal from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, but please use your handset. It is not very clear.
Sure. Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations on good set of numbers. I wanted to understand how is the response of the Brandy that we have launched in the last year, and if you could share the, you know, future contribution of the Brandy segment and the margins that we could expect from the same.
Sure. So margins we will not get into. That is level of detailing on a brand-wise basis that we don't get into. But, needless to say, it is a high contributing, a high margin product, given the premiumized level at which it stands, right? With regards to how has it done, as Mr. Dhanorkar mentioned earlier on the call as well, we have already achieved 5% of MHB saliency, right? Mansion House Brandy saliency, which is a pretty good number, given the fact that this brand has been launched only around 12 odd months back. Right? And given the sheer scale of Mansion House Brandy, the base itself is pretty huge. So from that perspective, it has done extremely well. Like we mentioned earlier, in the state of Telangana, Brandy is the number three brandy today, right? In less than 12 months to have achieved that status, I think it's pretty incredible. I think we also need to consider the fact that Brandy is a first of its kind innovation, right, within the industry. Never has India seen a flavored brandy come out of its stable as such, and we are extremely proud of this innovation. We are actually, just to give you a sense of how well it is doing, you should be seeing a couple more, what do you say, flavors coming out of this portfolio as well very soon.
At retail level, just to give you a sense, Brandy would be at 20%-25% premium to the Mansion House price.
Right. And also another question, like we have as a promoter group, we have diluted our equity to raise raise preferential issues. So any other preferential issue we are expecting in the recent time, or we are done with that proportion?
So we have raised adequate capital. I do not see any immediate need to raise further capital.
Right, so we would be comfortable managing our working capital with the facilities that we have right now.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's great. And also regarding the we have reduced our pledged promoter shares from around 60-70 to around 20-25. So if I just want to understand, like which thing have we pledged against, and can we expect this to come down further?
So I have given guidance earlier that within this financial year we should be able to reduce the promoter pledge to zero.
Okay. And also one last question. I think the previous participants also asked, but we have marked a good increase in EBITDA margins in this quarter, and congratulations for that. But would that level be sustainable, or can we expect some further increase in that EBITDA margin level on a consolidated basis?
Yeah, you should be looking at further expansion in EBITDA margins.
Any range that you could give, or how?
Yeah, we'll stick to our guidance. So FY24, we will close between 13% to 14%. That's a guidance which has been given earlier as well. We, as of H1 24, are at 13%. So you should see this increasing to some extent for the rest of the year, right? And for next year, you're looking at anywhere between 14% to 14.5%.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much, and all the very best for the coming year.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Himanshu Nayyar from Systematics Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. So I had two questions. Firstly, talking about premiumization in brandy. So after the new premium launch that we are talking about that we will do in the third quarter, have you identified more gaps in the space and at higher price points, maybe which you can look to target in the next 2 to 3 years to increase the share of P&A in brandy, which has been lagging relative to whiskey, for example?
Yeah, sir, actually a brilliant point, Manchu, that you brought out. That is exactly the strategy with which we go about introducing new brands, right? So if you have to look at, just take an example, right? Let's take the example of a state like Karnataka. If you look at Karnataka whiskey market, you will have around 10 to 12 different price segments within whiskey itself. However, when you start comparing that to, let's say, a brandy will have anywhere between 5 to 6, best case, right? In certain states, it may even be just 4 price segments that are there. So that is exactly what we are trying to do with our premiumization ladder over here, whereby we are actually trying to find need gaps in terms of where can we slot in products or brands, okay, at a relevant price point where it doesn't exist today. And that is exactly what this new brand is going to be. It is going to be put in a price point which doesn't exist to a great extent in brandy. You will see sister peers in terms of whiskey and all, but not so much, but not in brandy. So that is the entire strategy going forward for us.
Got it. And one more point, I mean, we have talked a lot about our strategy and numbers, etc. But I believe we've also beefed up our management bandwidth quite a bit, which has obviously been driving this execution of the strategy. So if you guys can share some details on the senior hirings that we have done, especially in the last couple of years, with a view to strengthen our mid and top management, basically.
So, yeah, that's an interesting point which you have made. I think that's a process which is continuous. But yes, the senior management now we have adequately staffed, you know, with the domain expertise, and the talent bandwidth now has significantly improved in the company. which has been one of the primary reasons I feel we have been able to execute the strategy over the last 2-3 years. I think that's been quite evident, and that's gone a long way in helping us execute our vision.
Mm-hmm. And we are confident of retaining this talent via enough incentives, etc., right?
So I feel, you know, in terms of the compensation, we are on par with the industry, the best in the industry. There's no doubt about that. We also do have a very attractive ESOP policy, which is working very well currently. So the senior management and mid-level management have adequate ESOPs. So I believe that will keep them engaged with the future of the company and the company's prospects.
Got it. Okay. That's all from me. Thanks, and all the best to you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Varun Mishra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Firstly, my question was, like, as you have seen, there is an increase in VAT as far as Maharashtra state is concerned. So, like, quarter three being the one of the strongest quarters. So, could we see an increase in the revenue in this quarter, like the preceding quarter?
You're referring to Maharashtra?
Yeah, to Maharashtra.
So, see, Maharashtra is a very small state for us in terms of saliency. It's actually in low single digits. So, it's not going to be meaningful for us.
Okay, so, like, it won't be like there won't be any revenue drivers from Maharashtra, like the major ones.
No.
Okay. And do you have any plans to get into like ethanol in the future or any non-alcoholic segments?
Not right now. We will keep you all updated if there's any significant material development.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nakul Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and a big congratulations for a very good set of numbers. So I have a couple of questions, starting with the UK free trade agreement, and wanted to know that how is it progressing and what impact it could have on the company's revenues, and also do you see any particular downside or any red flags in our domestic dominance because of the same?
You see, UK FTA doesn't impact us significantly given the fact that we are a predominantly brandy player, right? This would be more an impact for whiskey players, but not so much for us.
Understood. And does it open up more export opportunities for us?
No, I wouldn't comment on that.
No problem. And second question was about the, in terms of raw material and bottling cost, where do you see the same going? Is more operational efficiency possible over here?
Raw materials, frankly, very difficult to put a handle on that, right? Means ENA prices are what they are. They are at, I think, a pretty elevated level as it stands, but we do believe that at some point this will pause and potentially come down as well, right? So there could be some margin drivers over there. With regards to bottling charges and all, I think we are pretty well optimized right now. So we don't expect any further optimization coming out from on that side.
Understood. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in interest of time, that would be the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you all for your participation on this call. If there are any individual queries, we are free to address it. I think to summarize, we continue on building our brandy portfolio. As a brandy first company, I think our endeavor will remain to grow the brandy category. We don't particularly view it in terms of category, in terms of what Ameya also has mentioned. It's more price point strategy which we have, is that so we are competing with whiskey at particular price points, and our endeavor will be to try and see whether there's some migration from other flavors. For example, Flandy, which we spoke about earlier, it's being viewed, rather than being viewed as a flavored brandy, it's being viewed as a flavored spirit. So we have some more innovations in the pipeline. I think exciting times ahead for the company. I think we've been able to have significant growth over the past 2 years. I think the balance sheet is now well capitalized and well engineered, and we can leverage well from this position to deliver better results in the coming quarters.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.